On round one this morning, we say good morning to Christy Blatchford from the National Post, Mike Tobe, former speechwriter for the Prime Minister, Amanda Galbraith from Navigator Communications, and Jerry Agar from The Jerry Agar Show. Happy Friday, everybody.
Morning.
It's
morning.
A sweet, sweet Friday!
Lots of things to talk about today. I think maybe we'd start with public safety and an email that was written by a 30-year veteran of Toronto Police Service, sent to the chief, sent to the union at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. At 11 o'clock, we have yet another shooting victim lying dead in a public square. Christy, I'll start with you. You've seen this, back and forth for decades. Is there something to this memo, or is the timing just perfect?
Well, I think it's probably a bit of both, as with so much. I think there's probably something to the memo. I don't think this officer would have written it otherwise, but the unhappy coincidence of it coming just before the shooting at Yonge and Dundas is unfortunate. I don't think the shooting happened because there aren't enough officers on the street, but I think there probably aren't enough officers on the street. And also, carding may have impacted the ability of police to keep tabs on people. I know that's impolite and impolitic to say, but it's true.
Well, people don't like to hear the truth, Christy.
Yeah. Well, let's prove it rather than assert it.
Well, I guessed it.
Right.
I'm not asserting it.
No, you're raising it, and Jerry's raising it as an obviously proven point.
I think it's
point.
A legitimate point to consider.
Mm-hmm. Then let's have the fans of carding prove once and for all that it works.
So you don't think that it's worth considering?
No, it's always worth considering, Jerry, but
okay,
the fact
then.
Of the matter
that's
is
all she said.
When we were arguing
and
about
all
getting
I'm saying.
When we were arguing about getting rid of carding, they were never able to show a case where it worked.
Uh-huh. You are wrong, sir, and I have mentioned this case before.
All right.
The murder of Cecilia Zhang, which was solved because in the days after the murder, the police were able to link the person, I can't remember his name now, who was ultimately convicted in her death, with showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a park where Cecilia's body was later discovered. And it turns out the person and his friends who were there at 3 in the morning, who goes to a park at 3 in the morning? Not very many people do.
And but that's a legitimate police encounter. Parks are closed at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they're not closed. They're open spaces all the time.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be in a public park after 11.
Well, I didn't even know about that rule or law, excuse me. But the point is, an officer had come upon them, asked them what they were doing. They claimed to have been fishing. And all she did, I believe it was a female officer, was write down the names of the people she'd encountered. Several weeks later, after Cecilia's body was found adjacent to the very spot, the police were able to link the people who had been there, one of them, with the murder. There you go. That's one actual physical example of a murder which was solved because of carding.
Okay, I'll look into it. But I mean, that sounds like a legitimate police encounter to ask people what they're doing when they're in violation of a city bylaw.
Well, John, sometimes when evidence is presented, just accept it.
No, Jerry, I am making a point which apparently you're not listening to. Police are allowed to ask you what you're doing somewhere if you are breaking a bylaw. That's a legitimate police encounter. Walking up to somebody on the street randomly and saying, "What are you doing?" is not.
I think that no one would disagree with the fact that with carding, when it was instituted, it was affecting people of color and of marginalized community more so than other folks. And I do agree that police need the tools to do their job, but I don't believe that, you know, young black men should be stopped to the level to which they were.
Of course not.
And I think there's a balance to be found in the city. I think we're still trying to do that. But, you know, it's not one side, it's not the other. I also think, you know, it's always better to have more police on the streets than not. But, you know, I'm always suspicious of memos that are released publicly via the union and that kind of stuff. Like, it's all like, yes, there's something about safety, but there's also like a political game that happens here that we need to be live to.
Yeah, there definitely is. Look, carding is imperfect. I agree with that. But at the same time, I don't believe that it should be removed as a tool. I think it should still be active. So I agree with that theory. In terms of cops on the streets, I think there's no question we need more police officers. I've said that for years. The problem is budgetary expenses, and that's always been the issue, is whether they can actually afford to bring more in. Plus, as well, based on the fact that there's a lot of a negative association with police officers today, whether people are encouraged to actually go through the police academies and become full-fledged officers. I think those are two issues in itself. And in terms of carding, I agree with Christy. There have been examples in Canada and in the United States where it has worked. It's just, unfortunately, as I said before, it's an imperfect system. But then again, everything is.
Joe Warmington writing for The Sun today saying we've become desensitized to shootings in our community because he went to Yonge and Dundas Square, the scene of a shooting on Wednesday night, and discovered just one sorry pot of flowers. Amanda, you felt that maybe he's got a point.
The one thing I'll say is I think we are a little desensitized to stuff like this. I think because we live in a big city and it happens, you know, unfortunately more frequently than it would in other communities. I think we're also desensitized to homelessness. You know, I walk by homeless people on the street all the time. And do I stop and give them money all the time? No. Do I give them food every time? No. So I think, you know, it's sort of the casualty of living in a city with the breadth and depth and, you know, exposure that we have. Is it okay? Not necessarily. But I'm not sort of crying into my soup because there's no flowers at Yonge Dundas.
Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah.
I've always thought that random strangers putting flowers and teddy bears at a place where somebody was killed is an odd and disturbing way to show your sensitivity in any case. So if this means the death of the so-called, quote, makeshift memorial, good. It shouldn't and doesn't diminish the actual death of the human being.
Yeah. 50-50 on that. I think Jill's right in one sense, and Amanda kind of touched on it, is that we've become desensitized in general towards murder, obviously due to movies, other cultural things, and just things that we see on a day-to-day basis in a large city. So I get that part of it. Our Torontonians now sitting around saying, after there's been a bit of a swath of murders lately, are they basically saying, well, nothing's happening, we don't care, etc.? No, I wouldn't go that far. We are frustrated about, because if we care about our city, we obviously don't want to see an increase on that level. But are we becoming desensitized? Unfortunately, gradually over time, and there have been studies done, even in universities in the United States directly about it, I think the answer is yes. So Joe is at least 50% of the way onto something.
Complaints coming in from all kinds of neighborhoods. It's kind of interesting because they're not always the ones that are closest to the venue at Echo Beach. But people say the music is keeping them up at nights. Their windows are vibrating. Their children can't sleep. Jerry, life in the big city?
Well, you know what's curious to me is why is it Echo Beach and not just a little bit down the lane, so to speak? We've got another big concert facility that has concerts on a regular basis that are outdoor. Is it Molson or Budweiser? What is it now?
It's Budweiser.
Yeah. Oh, it's Budweiser now.
It's directed out to the lake, though.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the problem. How much of a... Actually, that's an excellent point. Could you turn the stage?
I don't know. Maybe that's why it's called Echo Park.
We just can't have... We just can't have nice things in this city. Like, honestly, like, you know, any fun, everyone complains.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not listening to the noise, but I live, you know, the fireworks that happen around Memorial Day around Ashbridges Bay, like, they rock my condo building pretty loudly. And yet, you know, my dog freaks out. We live to fight another day. I mean, honestly, people, we should have concerts in this city. We should have more music venues in this city. We should be richer and more cultural. And this NIMBYism is driving me bonkers, actually.
Although I'm getting texts from people saying that they can't sleep at night.
If it's going all the way up to Bloor, that is a long way from Echo Beach.
Sure. Well, apparently it jumps over some of the neighborhoods and then hits people north. That's the strange thing.
That is the strange thing.
There it is. There's the echo.
You got to love that bass guitar.
Extra sensitive people.
No kidding. That's preposterous.
All right. In our discussions, I've been checking online, and I'm finding there's a mixed bag. A lot of our parks are open 24 hours, so my apologies to Jerry and to Christy, although I think it'll be important. We'll determine which park it was and whether or not it was a legitimate police encounter.
Google my name in Cecilia Zhang, Z-H-A-N-G, and you'll find the story. I wrote about this.
Good stuff. I will. Samantha Bee making a vile remark in her show on Wednesday night about Ivanka Trump. She has now apologized abjectly, but some people are saying, how come Roseanne gets her show canceled? And Samantha Bee marches on. Robert, do we have the audio? Okay. Well, she used the C word, which I've never heard anybody use in a performance or in comedy. But also, Samantha Bee, I'm not sure you can say hypocrisy. I don't know. I didn't call for Roseanne to lose her show. That was ABC's decision.
Well, I mean, I think what Roseanne said was despicable, and I don't care about her show. I'm not outraged that she lost it. I'm not outraged by Samantha Bee's language because I use that same word myself all the time. It's one of my favorite curse words. So I am unmoved by that, but I'm a little upset at the injustice of her not losing her show. And, you know, for some people, an abject apology is enough, but not for others. I don't know.
Robert Turner, let's listen in.
You know, Ivanka, that's a beautiful photo of you and your child, but let me just say, one mother to another, Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless. He listens to you. Put on something tight and low cut and tell your father to stop it.
Okay, maybe I'll just grieve the fact that I'm becoming a prude. I think the level of incivility and obscenity is getting a bit much. And I don't mind an F-bomb in comedy.
No.
The C word in a monologue on TV?
Yeah. I've done a little bit of stand-up comedy. You've probably done more, John. But a friend of mine who has never done anything else for a living told me, don't ever say that on stage. I wasn't going to, but he was just saying, do not, because there's a section of that audience you'll never get back.
Yeah, definitely not. No, you're right. I mean, look, the thing that bothers me, though, is the double standard. Yes, it is obviously up to the company. I didn't call for Roseanne's head either, even though I thought the comment was offensive and obviously, as some people have interpreted, probably correctly, racist. I agree. It was bigoted. At the same time, it was ABC's decision to make. They could have actually done something with that show. They could have kicked, for example, and I'm not suggesting you do it, they could have kicked her off and kept the actual format of the show. They did that when Valerie Harper, for example, had a huge dispute with her group and the producers of her company, so she left. Her show, Valerie, turned into the Hogan family. It does happen.
And how did that do?
Yeah, exactly. It lasted for another 4 years.
It does
work sometimes.
Isn't there a bit of pearl clutching here since the president himself uses obscene words while referring to women?
I will also say, as per Christie, I also use that word.
Thank you, my dear.
And I enjoy it. Also, if anyone's listening to British comedy, I think that word is used more often than most
They see it differently.
In a different way, though. Yes.
I understand that. Thank you for explaining that to me. mansplaining as we speak.
I know.
Okay. And just.
But I do think there's a bit of pearl clutching around this because, like, you know, it's a swear word. I actually was a bit more disturbed about the put on the tight dress commentary, which I think is really inappropriate, than her use of a swear word.
Well, he does get all horn-doggy over women and then tell them how much they remind him of his daughter.
It's all very creepy and strange.
Fake news.
Yeah.
All right, and just to put a fine cap on things, we have called up the article, and Christie police were on a call. They had received a complaint when they went to the park.
Right, okay, but they still carted the person.
But they were called. Because
why don't we call that?
People said it was a suspicious car. The officer who responded, sure enough, found a car with three young men in it. Discovery of the body, blah, blah, blah. Police had received a complaint about a suspicious car in the same area near the river.
Okay, but that doesn't diminish, you know, it's still carting if you take the person's name down without giving them charges. That's what carting is. It's making note of people in suspicious circumstances, in suspicious places. That's fundamentally how it should work.
Okay, we'll leave it there.